truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I think that there is a place for the President of the United States to talk to school children.
I believe that a public option will be essential to our passing.
It is absolutely grand in this great country of ours that we have a president who happens to be black.
I just got home, my whole family's dead.
Okay, tell me what's going on, sir.
Johnny Diablo.
I ain't a monster.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, right here at El Pacifico. Wherever you are, you've dialed in a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We don't like Republicans or Democrats or progressives or conservatives because, baby, that is yesterday. That is yesterday. That ain't happening anymore. On this show, this is a home for free-thinking people. Tonight, we're taking a look at the Obama speech on health care. And we're breaking it down, and it just so happens I support it. I could come down on the other side and say the whole thing is just a big, fat mistake, and it's going to be too much money, and we can put it off for another day and another time. I don't agree with that. But just to give you an idea, just to give you a little flavor, maybe a little whiff of what this show is all about, just to get a nice, big, quick noseful, we've supported the President of the United States, George Bush, in his efforts against terrorists, including the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, and keeping Gitmo open. So on this show, we take it case by case, issue by issue. By the way, speaking of Obama, tonight, even as a member of the Republican side didn't really call him a liar. I think he said, you lie. So, take that for what it is. He did give a little prop to John McCain. President Obama did, saying that John McCain's idea for a national co-op is a worthy idea, one that should be looked at. It was one that... that Senator McCain had floated during the election campaign, and President Obama cited John McCain in the speech, and the senator got a warm round of applause for that. And some people may think that that's Obama being cynical. I don't know why we all go to that place automatically. I don't know why do we all go automatically to the government. The government did something to tear down 9/11. I mean, they're the guys that caused it. Why do we go to that right away? Right away, man, that's where we go. Do you think Obama decided that he would let Congress fail and then he would see the strategy of the Republicans and then he'd know what to expect? Why do we think people are that clever? I'll tell you why. We can all thank Richard Nixon for that. I mean, before that, maybe we were a little clueless, but we pretty much listened to our government. We said, well, okay, if that's what you say, then... we believe it. We didn't have a Congress that was asleep at the switch. I mean, as early as the 1940s, they were looking into whether Roosevelt knew something about Pearl Harbor. We've been looking into stuff. As long as there's a congressman, they're going to be looking into things, you know? And as long as there's an American people and an enlightened electorate, we ought to be looking into things, too. But do we automatically have to go to the view that somebody's lying someplace, someone is cheating, stealing? And if someone says to me, but that's the human race, Phil... I don't need any lessons on how human beings act, and I've seen human beings act in marvelous ways sometimes, heroic ways sometimes. Yeah, I've seen people do a lot of dastardly things. But, you know, they do all kinds of things, man. It depends on the time, it depends on the place, it depends on the person. But right away, you know, we're trying to figure out, what's the game here, man? What's the angle, you know? What's he really want? Obama, what's he getting out of this? Guys running for office must have a big ego. Well, do you think? No cat runs for president of the United States unless he thinks he can handle the job. If that means he's got a big ego, well, he's got a big ego. These guys, they're lying in their pockets. These guys, if these cats were so smart to be lying in their pockets at the public trough the way so many people think so many of them are, and I don't doubt that a lot of them do, they could probably make a hell of a lot more money in the private sector. They wouldn't have to be fooling around with this. Yeah, there's a few of them. I think the overwhelming majority of people that serve in government want to do something good. Does that make me stupid? I don't think so. I haven't been proven wrong yet. Some people think the whole system's broken and everything is corrupt and America's going down the tubes. I don't see that anywhere. Do you? I don't see it anywhere. I see a lot of confused and panicked people, but hell, this is America. If we don't have a whole lot of confused and panicked people, I guess it wouldn't be America. I don't see the country going to hell in a handcart. I don't see the borders collapsing to the point where the onrush of illegals is creating a public safety hazard to the tune of Road Warrior. I don't see our country in any way, shape, or form at risk of crumbling before our very eyes in the foreseeable future. I see a country that is strained sometimes right to its limits. I see a country that that is taken for granted more often than not. I see a country that serves a hell of a lot of people in a pretty damn good way, and we still bitch and moan about what we ain't got. We don't like the price of a postage stamp. I'm mailing a letter for 35 cents, 50 cents. It's going around the world, man. What the hell do I want? We don't like this. We don't like, there's a lot of stuff I don't like, but I'm not about to just draw the curtain on the whole thing. And these people who talk about the death of this and the death of that, if you don't read history, you will be forever befuddled by life. If you read history, you know we've been here before. We've been down this road so many times, it'd make your head spin. We've had people predict the end of capitalism and the end of America as we know it and the end of democracy so many times that it's almost boring to hear it. We've had people say that the country is going down to crapper so many times. My father used to say that when he sat there and read the paper. Every time he looked at Castro's kisser, every time he saw Khrushchev in the newspaper, this country's going down the tubes. And we're giving it to these dictators. It was going down the tubes with Kennedy. And it was going down the tubes with Johnson. It was going down the tubes for damn sure with Nixon. As a matter of fact, it came damn close to going down the tubes with Nixon. It went down the tubes with Carter, with Reagan, with Bush. It went down the tubes with Roosevelt, and it sure as hell was going down the tubes with old Abe Lincoln, wasn't it? I mean, this country is such a magnificent creation, such an unbelievable achievement on the part of human beings, such a momentous time for the human race on this planet that we don't trust it's going to last another week. We can't believe our own good fortune. We can't believe we're here. So we remind ourselves, guys died. Battlefields, flags, blood, patriots, history, learn something. Maybe that will make it a little clearer to us. But even that doesn't help. We get up in the morning, we can do what we want, we can look for a job, not look for a job, sit there with our thumb parked up our ass, do anything we want. We can go play ball on the beach, we can go and collect our unemployment check if times are tough. We can't believe how good we got it. Something's got to be wrong somewhere. Now, I understand when people say, you know, why do we have to find a problem with everything? Why do we have to insure everybody? Why do we got to have welfare? What do we got to have food stamps? What do we got to have all this crap for, okay? And I believe me when I tell you, I agree with you. If the only reason was because we have big hearts and America, baloney, man. The reason why we do it is for security. Security, security, security. For security, to make sure that the people are being well treated so that the country can continue to operate within this vessel we've created. If we don't take care of the so-called underclasses, there is a real security risk to the literal life of the country. I don't need to remind you that down through history, countries, monarchies, entire forms of government have been overthrown by neglected classes of people. So we got to recognize that everybody does need to be taken care of to a degree. And then there's something else. It isn't just the poor that need to be taken care of. I got to be taken care of. You got to be taken care of. Because if we start shouldering too much of the burden, we get pissed off. And there ain't nothing like a pissed off middle class, right? So what happens? So the man comes along and he says, we need a health care plan because there's too much money that's being spent by the people that are supposed to be powering the machine of this country, the middle class. There's too much money that they're spending on this health care thing. We got to do something to even the playing field a little bit. We got to make sure that everybody's insured. Let's get all of these companies involved. Let's get everybody up off the bench, man, and get in the game. Let's go. And let's see if we can't take the weight off of a certain class of people and put it on another. Let's see if we can't spread this out. Everybody talks about this thing where Obama says it's more fair. He uses those terms because they seem to be understood easily. But they're probably, that's not what he means. He doesn't mean he wants everything to be more fair, as in let's be socialist and let's everybody kiss each other's ass. What he's talking about is let's take the strain and the weight and the pressure off of this part of the ship and let's equalize it and kind of put the ballast where it belongs. You know, if you've got all the freight toward the front of the boat, which is the bow, you're going to capsize. A country has often been called a ship of state. Why? Because it has to be balanced like a ship. It has to navigate very rough waters, and if it has to navigate a very rough series of waters, it has to make sure that its ballast is placed just properly, its cargo is placed properly, and everybody, every swing and you-know-what is on deck, pulling lines and making sure that damn thing is moving, right? We got to get everybody on board, and let's get going and make this thing what it should be, a smooth-sailing ship with everybody pitching in. You can't have one or the other bearing the entire weight, whether it be the labor or the cost of the voyage. When we say let's make things more fair, we probably should say it differently. We probably should say we've got to take the pressure off of over here and we've got to balance it out a little bit and put it over there. Otherwise, we have a system that starts to crack. It ain't about socializing anything. It's about taking the weight off of you and I as middle-class citizens of this country, trying to get more insurance companies into the game, trying to get some of these higher cost insurance plans to bring their prices down so they compete a little bit more actively for some of those 40 to 30 to 50 to 15, however many the bloody figure is, of new insurance customers, so they get into the game and they start dropping their costs to try to get a little bit more competitive. And we try to, you know, you try to put some oil into the system, man. You grease the axle a little bit so the wheels are turning. Now, does it sound like I'm making a big, floral, very ornate pitch on behalf of Barack Obama? I don't think so, but I believe I'm speaking not just for him. I don't want to speak for him. I'm speaking for the country, my country. I care about this place. I want it to live. I want it to thrive. I want it to continue for hundreds of years. And if that means all the Democrats and Republicans blow their brains out tomorrow, I'll buy the guns and the ammunition. You tell me where you want it delivered. If it means all the progressives and all the conservatives step off the end of a cliff and drop to their death hundreds of feet below, I'm all in favor of it. I care about one thing and one thing only, my country, my people, my flag. You got it, baby. I don't give a damn about the rest of these cats. They should all die as far as I'm concerned. Talk about swine flu. I wish to God there was a swine flu that only hit Republicans and Democrats. They all died tomorrow, I'd be kind of sad, and I'd probably wonder what the hell happened, and I'd probably be thinking, why is everything more peaceful these days? You know, everything's like actually moving forward, and everything's kind of cool. What happened? Oh, you didn't hear that swine flu hit all the Democrats and Republicans, they're all dead. Oh, isn't that too bad? All right, we'll take a break here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We've got your calls coming up next. We're going to be talking more about the Obama health care plan, including Representative Joe Wilson, who called Obama a liar, or he said, you lie, or something like that. We'll roll that clip for you, which I should have done in the first segment of the show, but I fell in love with the sound of my own voice. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil is our number here, and we were mentioning earlier and didn't want to make too big of a spectacle out of it because the gentleman in question did call and he did apologize to the president. He talked to, I believe, Rahm Emanuel, and we're talking about this guy, Joe Wilson, a representative from South Carolina, who made the rather unfortunate and inopportune comment halfway through Obama's speech, something along the lines of, you're lying or you're a liar or you dirty, rotten N-word. Now, he didn't say N-word. I don't think he did. Anyway, here is the moment.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. It's not true.
I don't understand what the guy's problem is. I mean, if the man says it ain't there, it ain't there. This guy is a representative, member of Congress from South Carolina. Apparently, he's not very bright. Either that or he can't read. Or he just can't believe that Obama would present something sensible that didn't include illegal immigrants. It just blows his mind and shatters his view, his worldview, of a black president. Maybe that's it there, Joe. 877-876-PHIL here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And also, we're online tonight with our live-streaming video at philhendryshow.com. Check it out. You can see us doing the show as well as hear us doing the show at www.philhenryshow.com. Here is Hugh in Phoenix. Hugh, you're on a Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Well, we all know what a free enterprise system and actually how it works, that if there's no regulation or very little restrictive regulations, that the free enterprise system works well and prices are kept low. And henceforth, that's when you see, like, the grocery stores, and they're always fighting each other for competition. However, the concept here with the health bill being out there, where we're saying that it's going to lower cost by going through the health exchange, it's not going to work that way, because the concept is everybody now is required to have health insurance. And because they're required to
there's
have
one,
health
there's
insurance...
There's one problem, by the way, with your theorem there.
Okay.
You didn't take into consideration supply. Otherwise, what you say is basically true. But if the supplies are low, it doesn't matter how many people you've got competing, the prices are going to be high.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Right.
But here's the system on this healthcare issue, is that everybody now is required by law to have health insurance. And so the health insurance companies know that you have to buy insurance from them, so they do not have to lower their prices. They can keep the prices the same.
No, that's not true. No, that's not true.
And why is that?
Not true. Because with the public option, if you can't afford these other insurances, these other insurance plans, you do have that option. Now, one of the things that you're not taking into consideration is the number of insurance companies that could compete for a new customer base of 40 to 50 million people with lower priced plans that they can't afford from the bigger companies.
Okay, then let's look at this route. Instead of having to have the health care reform, if we're truly looking to actually lower health care costs for insurance-wise, what we have is an issue here where state regulations or even federal regulations prohibit insurance companies from selling across state lines based on what companies are allowed to do or not to do. Obama said it in his speech there that there's a couple states that there's only five companies that sell insurance in the state. In one, there's only one. So the concept is if you take away the regulations and actually allow the free enterprise system to work, then that's truly what you're going to look at is cost.
And
So
suppose we allow that big company in Alabama to have some competition, and insurance companies come into Alabama and start to sell insurance, right?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. And a guy can afford the insurance, but he's 25 years old. He's in the peak of health. Hey, he ain't going to get no insurance. Well, you say to them, no, wait a second. Look at all these insurance companies that we have. That's fine. Thank you very much. I'm going to spend my money on something else. How does that work?
If he doesn't want to buy insurance, then why should the government make him have to tell him how he has to spend
his money? You're absolutely, as long as you don't mind me coming and knocking on your door and saying, hey, Hugh, remember that kid that didn't buy the insurance? Well, he crawled into a hospital ward today, and he's bleeding from every hole in his body. And he's got to get medical coverage, and he doesn't have insurance. So, Hugh, why don't you go ahead and kick in, and I'll get some money from Hendry. And, there was another guy, too, that it happened to. Oh, and there's another guy in another state that it happened to. See, we're going to have to raise your premiums there, Hugh, but I'm sure you don't mind because it's the free enterprise system at work.
Well, if we were in the free enterprise system, that wouldn't be where it's working. But I'll tell you, Phil, isn't that
what's happening? That's exactly what's happening. That's the system you have right now, Hugh. And even if you had insurance being sold across state lines, which I know some people think is a magic cure-all, it doesn't necessarily mean people are going to be insured. It doesn't necessarily mean people are going to have the right kind of insurance or that they're going to get the right kind of coverage or that you and I aren't going to wind up being stuck with the bill, man. The whole reason for this isn't so we can all hold hands and sing We Are the World. The whole reason for this is so that Hugh and Phil don't keep paying the tab.
Well, we're paying the tab anyways. And it's
exactly. We don't want to keep paying the tab, my brother. Do you understand?
So we're paying
we don't want to do that.
We're
not paying the tab double because we're requiring that jackass that you and I had to pay for. Guess what? He's now got to pay for himself. Phil, going to pay.
A lot of times, Phil, the ones who end up paying like that, number one, yes, your insurance premiums will end up going up. But at the same point in time, you're going to have to pay more taxes to the state because that's where that insurance payment.
Apparently, you're not listening. You're not listening to the arguments that are being made. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
A lot of people, you know, here in America, one of the things that we're known for is that we believe we're the center of the world, and we are. We are the center of the world. Now, that can play against us from time to time, because when you believe you're the center of the world, you don't think there's anything you really need to know or learn about the rest of the world, and there probably isn't a whole lot that we need to learn about the rest of the world in general, as a country. I mean, as individuals, we always should be learning. One area where it doesn't help us is when we lose sight, because we've been living for so long. We've all been living in the American century. We are all born in the 20th century, except for little tiny babies that are listening to the show tonight and are making up their own minds, and glad to have you kids.
What a little tiny baby not going to hear.
I'm kidding around, man, okay?
You think a little baby going to hear? Man, you stupid. Well, that's what you said.
I'm kidding around. A little baby ain't listening to the show? It shouldn't be, unless the parents, you know, left the house and the kid turned the radio on. But anyway, so we believe that America has always been preeminent, and that's fine, but we are going to lose our grip on reality here if we don't see that the rest of the world has learned the lessons taught to it by America very, very well. The rest of the world is learning this thing called free enterprise, learning this thing called capitalism, learning this thing called competition. The rest of the world is creating, and they're creating jobs, and they're exporting, you see. And they're becoming gross exporters. And by gross exporter, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not talking about they're ugly and they don't shave too often. I'm talking about most of the give and the take, the import-export, the gross is on the export side, see? Now, where are we going to be? Are we going to still be sitting here on our fat asses going, well, we're America, man. Everybody loves our TV shows. Well, guess what, man? That ain't going to get the butter on the bread. You know what we've been through here the last 10 years, talking about our manufacturing of automobiles and God knows what else going right into the tank. We don't know how to make anything that the rest of the world wants to buy. We're not gross exporters here. The rest of the world is making stuff for us to buy and we import. That's what happens when a country becomes very, very wealthy and very, very filled with this hubris of needing a leisure economy and needing the things that one would attribute to an individual who doesn't need necessarily the hard goods that maybe another economy needs. We need TV shows and socks. We need DVDs. We need computers. These are all fine and wonderful and good. The rest of the world, though, is making things and beginning to make things in great quantities of hard goods, things that other countries and other peoples want. They're exporting. Many, many economies are strengthening. We're going to be left in the dust unless we get our heads out of our asses and do two things. Number one, we have to begin to educate another generation of business leaders and industry leaders who get it about the competitive realities of the world, as well as engendering consumer support and loyalty and creating products that last a lifetime, that last so long a company can live on the goodwill they generate with the sale and the product, the production of those things. And number two, we're going to need the hard capital to operate with. We're going to need as much money as we possibly could get our hands on to get out there into the world and start to spend the money that we need on the manufacturing base, on creating these jobs that we hear so much about, on all of the things that we need to improve this country and position it well for this competitive race of the next 100 years. And one area where we can begin to save that money is on the cost associated with health care. 16% of gross domestic product, 1/6, too much money. Way too much money. Way too much money. That's what we're talking about. 877-876-Phil is our number, 877-876-Phil. Let's go to another phone call here. on the line in Brooklyn. We have Brian. Brian, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Henry. I just want to make two comments, one about Obama's speech and one about Michelle Obama, and then I want to ask you a question. First one, okay. Obama's speech. All of us know the man's a brilliant orator, and I expected him to give a great speech, and he did. For the first time in a long time, I think he was a little late on this, but he actually explained his plan and what he wanted to do. And me, personally, I was hoping that he unites his party, you understand what I'm saying, so the Democrats could push this through, because I don't see the Republicans are trying to work with him at all. Even though he keeps giving out olive branches. This man gives out more olive branches than the Greeks grow them. But
he said he had a nice thing to say about, I mentioned he had a nice thing to say about McCain, you know. And, look, he's not going to win any points, obviously, by getting into a peeing match with these clowns. He knows that they're sitting over there with their smart-ass grins, and that that one guy that yelled out, "You lie." And
it sounded almost like the British Parliament with the guy yelling.
It did, didn't it? Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need more of that. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it's kind of healthy, even though I think it was the wrong venue for that, personally.
Yeah.
But I think we could use a little bit more, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing. Now, too,
go ahead.
Did you look at Michelle Obama's face tonight? Did she?
Yes, I did. Huh?
Very angry and annoyed just by the whole process of everything.
Yeah. I think she looked, I read in her face, Brian, I saw a sort of determination on behalf of her husband. I think she knew this was a big speech. I think she was focused on him, and she wanted to hear him hit it out of the park. That's what I was. It was almost like a bat. It was almost like a pitching coach. You know, like a pitching coach in baseball when he's watching a pitcher? He's looking at the motion. He's looking at the movement and how. Yeah.
She was so, it almost looked like she just wanted to curse the whole crowd at foot. Giving her husband such a hard time with this healthcare thing.
Yeah, well, he's a big boy. He's a big boy. He can handle it. That's the hard ball of politics, you know. But, yeah, she looked some people thought she looked irritated or she looked bored, but I felt that she looked like she really was just, like, honing in on his delivery, you know, like I say, like a pitching coach watching a pitcher. Thanks, Brian, so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And let's see, and the gentleman's point about uniting the party is a good point. He does need to get these cats on board. He has to give them the I don't know whether it's at this point, this is kind of late to be giving them the talking points, you know. I think he's got to kick some ass, though, and tell these people how important this is, because apparently they don't get it. And he's going to kind of have to coach them on what it is they got to do to get this thing sold, because they haven't done it. And they've done a lousy job of explaining it to the American people. Here's Ted in Hartford, Connecticut. Ted, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Phil, I didn't get the chance to hear the speech or watch it because I worked, and I'm just getting done work. So I'm calling you to enlighten me on some things. My concern about this whole health care proposal, and any one of them I've heard anybody talk about, what's to stop it? And there's three questions. Number one, what's to stop this thing from ballooning into a big federal program, because private employers see that they can use the public option and not carry insurance on their people or their employees. And you know, I'm concerned about it. What's always a good intention, a good idea, sometimes our politicians, most of the time.
Well here's the thing. And this is a good area to talk about. This is a very good area to talk about. I'm looking for your name. Where the hell? What happened to? Oh, Ted. Yeah, sorry, Ted. Yeah, I got people from San Antonio to L.A. And I was looking for Hartford. There's Ted. This is a very good area. First of all, you understand that the employers who could not afford insurance before, the small employers, the entrepreneurial employers who couldn't afford insurance and were getting beat. You know, had to not insure their people so they could remain competitive, all right, are going to be getting tax credits as well as the opportunity to, again, involve themselves in this health exchange. You understand that this is an exchange of many, many hundreds and thousands of health coverage companies, health insurance companies, that individuals and companies can access for sensible, reasonable, and cost-effective plans. In addition to which, the employer, the small business employer, is getting a tax credit. Now, I was looking for Obama's speech to give you the specific on it, but I can't find it. I know that is the case.
Is there a public option where the government is going to pay for people that are unemployed?
Now, here's the thing that you need to understand. You're talking about business. You're talking about business, and I'm giving you the answer on business. And this also includes the individual who needs to. Well, please understand that there are three rails here. And when you focus on the public option, you're actually focusing on the smallest aspect of these three rails. You're focusing on 5% of the uninsured.
Right.
We're talking about you having insurance. We're talking about a health exchange where people who are uninsured up to this point can go, businesses as well, to find insurance. And if that doesn't work, they estimate some 5% of those uninsured in the country will go to this public health option plan. All right. And that is a plan that I believe will be in concert with doctors that will provide the basics and coverage, doctor's visits, prescription, hospitalization, etc. And what your concern is that your concern, I hear, and if I'm wrong, tell me, is that this area is going to outweigh the other areas in terms of cost and will eventually consume the rest.
I heard the show tonight for about the last hour, and I heard you talk, you comparing it to auto insurers and stuff like that. You know, you're forced to carry auto coverage. My state is also. My concern is that it ends up like Hawaii, for an example now. I'm not saying it's going to end up where it's like Hawaii, but if you remember, Hawaii wanted to insure the uninsured children, and all of a sudden parents start dropping their health coverage through their employers and going from a family plan to a single plan.
No, can't do that. You can't do that because, and this is one of the things that I heard this criticism from Republicans. They said the government is going to be. I just want to give you. I'm giving you the prelude to what it is I'm going to say here. Okay. First of all, you know, you have to financially qualify for this. This is why they're asking for Social Security numbers, financial information, not unlike what a bank asks you when you need a loan. You have to financially qualify. They're not going to be allowing anybody to drop coverage if they can afford it. They're not going to allow somebody to go on a public plan if they can afford better for their children or themselves. That isn't going to happen. And so what happened was the opposition seized on that and said, aha, it's Orwellian, it's 1984, they're getting all this information on you. Well, of course they are, for God's sake. They have information on us about all kinds of stuff. That's what happens when you are looking for a financial and you need to qualify for that. So people will have to qualify for these different levels of coverage. They will have to show a level of need, a level of want in terms of the public plan, etc. Now, to answer your question about businesses, and I didn't know this, and I've been had my memory refreshed, businesses are going to be required to offer health care to their workers no matter who, no matter what the business. If they don't, they will have to pay a fee to cover the costs. But this includes all businesses, big and small.
With what the fee range is? Is it a percentage of the employees pay?
I don't know. But you know what? That's one exception. There will be tax credits for small businesses that cannot afford it. So if you say, I'm a small business, I can't afford this, they will give you a tax credit or a tax incentive to provide this coverage or to cover this fee. What the number is, I don't know. That's a part of the plan that I don't believe, and I've read it, and I don't recall them actually coming up with a number. Thanks so much for your call, Ted. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the Obama health plan, his speech tonight. I thought it was pretty good in that he was able to, without a whole lot of people screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and wetting themselves, he was able to explain in a broad sense what the plan represents. You did hear the president say, and I suppose this is one of those areas where some people can say, oh, he's lying. He's lying. Yes, he's distorting. He's lying. 5% of those who are uninsured right now would be utilizing this public health option, this government-administered plan. This is a far cry, folks, from a government takeover of the health insurance business and the healthcare industry. That wasn't ever going to happen. But when you're talking about 5% of people, those who can't afford the costly plans, those who can't even afford the very competitive and lower-priced plans through this health exchange, then they have the public health option. And when we're talking about 5%, that's a far cry from all 50 million or 40 million or 30 million. That ain't 20%. That ain't 50%. That ain't 30%. That's 5%. That's a pretty That's a pretty poor individual. That's somebody who really, really needs the help. And because it is legally required, yes, everybody is going to have to be insured. 877-876-PHIL. We're coming back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Charlie Sheen demands a meeting with President Obama to discuss a 9/11 cover-up. How about that, Charlie? Good to see you getting involved in the something. And, okay, what's this? 5% is from the, by the way, that number 5%, thank you, Jason, is from the Congressional Budget Office, which is the nonpartisan budget office for the United States Congress. That's the place that everybody goes, left, right, and center, when they want to get the straight stuff. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
If you've been wondering what Charlie Sheen's been up to, and I know I have, he has been, probably got under the sink for a few things, might have mixed a few chemicals. Anyway, he's got an interview that he wrote, a imaginary interview that he conducted with President Obama. He never really did interview President Obama. He just imagines that he did. And he demands that President Obama look into the whole 9/11 conspiracy thing. And the reason why Charlie does this is not because he really believes that the government brought down the Twin Towers or that Building 7 was blown up. And when that guy said pull it, he probably meant that Charlie was pulling it someplace. But the reason why he's doing this is because Alex Jones needs more money. So Charlie's just helping. He's chipping in. It's kind of like Charlie Sheen's public health care plan, public mental health care plan. So he's writing a column for Alex Jones's website because Alex can't sell enough books, T-shirts, DVDs and all the other garbage that he sells. To a bunch of schmucks who think that 9/11 was an inside job. Good going there, Charlie, but I don't think that you're doing it strictly for laughs. I do think you need help. Oh, baby, do you need help. All right, here, let's go to a phone call. We got Sherry in Los Angeles. Sherry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight, Sherry?
Well, I wanted to ask you about the health care proposal that Obama is suggesting. And here in California, Obama, our president, and I guess what I'm trying to look at is you mentioned the legal aspect of it. Here in California, we are required. I know you mentioned earlier that people have been comparing the legal aspect of having to have insurance here in California. You can't have it. I mean, you have to have it here. If they apply a legal component to have insurance.
Have to have what? You don't have to have health insurance in California. What are you talking about? We have to have car insurance?
No, I'm talking about in car insurance. If the
law
passes and it says that every American is legally required to have access to insurance, why would that stem competition? I think it would increase competition. And it seems like people are saying that it would have a an adverse effect. Like people wouldn't.
They're looking at it this way. They're saying because everybody has to go and buy insurance, then the insurance companies can sit there and go, "Hey, let's just jack the prices because guess what? These guys, it's a captive audience." But what they don't understand is that's a whole lot of companies. Yes. I mean, a whole lot of companies when you throw in this public health exchange. And on top of that, there is that backup national health plan. Now, to say that this is going to be a windfall for the insurance companies because now they could just raise prices. There are legal controls, for instance, that are going to be in place. As you heard the president tonight, it's going to be illegal for these health insurance companies to drop people from their coverage because they have a pre-existing condition. It's going to be illegal for these companies to drop people from their coverage because of this or that. You know, some of these games that they've played in the past, they're going to have to keep people on their rolls.
Will the government be able to suppress rates that that insurance companies can apply to the consumer?
You're talking about keeping the rates low. They already have in place something along the lines of 10% of the money they take in, but they can just take in more money. That means their 10% gets fatter. For the time being, what we're talking about is the rates themselves are limited by the free enterprise aspect. That is the capital market where you go, Sherry, and I go, and I say, oh, look at this plan. I can get my health insurance, my hospitalization, my prescription medicine a lot cheaper than Blue Cross or Aetna or some of these other plans. I think I'll opt for this. It might be very interesting, especially I'm a business owner, and if I want to insure my employees, I might look at this health exchange and take a look and see what they got to offer for a small business with the XYZ number of employees, And I might just say, well, you know what, big company, take a flying leap, man. I think I'm going to go with these guys.
Exactly. But seeing that increases competition and gives the consumer more choices.
Well, when you throw into it, because Sherry, you know what it is. It's at the end of the day, in my opinion, most of the people calling tonight are very honest with honest questions. I think there's a real ideological element here where they want to find something wrong because it just can't work. We can't let it work. Why? What? No. Can't work. There's got to be something wrong.
It's their own best interest, and I'm not understanding that. First of all, as a consumer,
it's political.
Now, you're speaking to me as an employer. Now, I work for a company where I am not eligible for, say, medical insurance. I don't work enough hours. And now, if the public component of it is available to me, is my employer obligated? I mean, can I just go outside of them to get?
Yeah, your employer is, if you're full time, your employer is going to be obligated to provide you with health insurance. If not, if you're part-time but you still want health insurance, you'll have the option to go to this exchange. You will have an option. You will have an affordable option. At the very least, you'll have the public plan. And if you can't even afford that, there will be a system of vouchers or other subsidies that will still make it available to you. Everybody will have insurance. Yeah. Phil Hendry's show will be back.
Phil Hendry.